and welcome to our broadcast. We're in the little book of Jude. We're discussing how to handle the apostasy of our day. This is the third broadcast in this series. Stay tuned. These verses again, beginning in verse number 17, because they are so important. It says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, not having the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and evermore. Amen." As we said in our previous broadcast, for the first 16 verses, we have stuff that's pretty negative here concerning what is happening during our age of apostasy, and it's spelled out for us pretty plain. These things are written for our admonition, so we'd be admonished, so that we can see exactly what we need to do in the age of apostasy. Well, after he gets through all this negative stuff, he says in verse 17, but beloved, and he focuses on the Christian and how he needs to handle himself. Again, you have that phrase in verse 20, but ye, beloved. Now, we see here that he says in verse 19, well, after referring to those that are apostate, he says, but these be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. These be they. And he warns us about them. He says, they feast with you. So that's very important that we understand who they are so that they can be exposed. It says in verse 19, they separate themselves. Now that is, they separate themselves from the seven things that he will talk about here in verse 20 through 25. They are in contrast with them. They don't want these things. Well, it says also in verse 19, having not the Spirit. Now, we said that these who come away from God, who walk with God and become apostates, for the most part, were Christians. What does it mean here, having not the Spirit? Well, Vine's Dictionary says that this means to be equivalent to having the means of the Spirit. And it goes in line, for example, with 1 Thessalonians 5:19, where Paul said, quench not the Spirit, or do not suppress the Spirit. And so we have the Holy Spirit who will work with us if we don't quench him, or we will have not the means of the Spirit if we're going to walk away from God and walk away from the truth. But ye, beloved, he says here in verse 20. Now again, we've said if you want an interesting study in the Bible, compare Scripture with Scripture. Take the little phrase, but ye. I punched it in the Bible program in my computer, and it came up with 1 John 2:20, where it says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Now that's very interesting. Ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. The word unction has been translated anointing two times. You have been anointed of the Holy One, from the Holy One. Now, this is talking about the Holy Spirit, obviously. And he says, you know all things. Well, what are you talking about? You know all things. Do you know all the scientific things and how to build a supersonic jet? I don't know that. It says, I shall know all things. Well, we always need to take these portions of Scripture, any Scripture, within its context. And it says here that you're going to know all things with this unction or with this anointing of the Spirit. And so if you look in 1 John 2:27, it says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, as is truth, and is no lie, and even as it is taught you, ye shall abide in him." And so when he's talking about all things, we need to look in the context of the things that are being talked about in that particular portion of Scripture. Not talking about all things in the world, but all things in that context. Now, in the context of Jude, those things which we're just getting into are here in verses 8:20, verses 20 through to 25. He lists seven things here. And the Bible will teach us, the Holy Spirit will teach us all things through the Bible, through the Word of God. The anointing which we have received of him abideth in you, and it says that that same anointing teaches you all things. You can get the truth. Jesus put it this way: when the Holy Spirit has come, he will guide you into all truth. All truth is all truth. So if we'll walk in the Spirit, or walk with the Spirit, as we've said in the previous broadcast, then the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. It's just that simple. Now, the first thing in this list that Jude gives us on how to handle the age of apostasy, he says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Now, if you're going to build something, that is constructing something by putting things together. Well, there never has been a time when we need to put things together like we need to put things together today. In other words, what's going on around us, we need to put it all together. Now, when we're talking about putting things together in this age of apostasy, what we need to do as we look into what is going on around us in society, and especially in the area of what we call fundamentalism, and then we look into the Bible and we see what the Bible has to say, what we need to do is put that all together and understand what is going on. I've said many times, what we need to do is face the facts. And then, with the facts, we need to face the future. Now, the question could be asked, why are our churches going apostate? And they are going apostate. When I was about 27 years old, I was married with one child and soon to have another. My wife and I were very concerned that our children would have a solid church to attend. And at that time, Elmer Towns wrote a book entitled The 10 Largest Sunday Schools and What Makes Them Grow. Well, I wanted to know all about that, and I was very interested in how to do it, so I visited 8 of those 10 churches that he featured in his book. One of those churches was Akron Baptist Temple. It was pastored at that time by Dr. Dallas Billington. The church began on June 1934 with 13 people. The offering that day was $1.18. By the time I visited there, there was over 6,000 attending the Sunday school in their $7 million facilities. However, today, things have changed. The Akron Baptist Temple is a rock and roll center with a little religion on the side. It has gone apostate. Well, I also visited the Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, when it was a solid fundamental Baptist church. Well, things have changed there, too. The church has adopted a contemporary style of what they call worship, and they are now one of the main leaders in this apostasy of our day. I visited Temple Baptist Church in Detroit, Michigan, when it was highly respected as a fundamental Baptist church that used only the King James Bible. Well, things have changed there, too. The church's music today, they feature what they call the praise bands that consists of a piano, a synthesizer, acoustic and electric guitars, bass guitars, and drums. They changed the name to Northridge Church of Plymouth, Michigan, after taking a survey of the community and finding out that most people don't like the name Baptist. So I said, we're going to do it your way right away. That's a nice way of call what we call apostasy. I also visited the Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia. At that time, Jerry Falwell was the pastor. However, things have changed there too. Falwell has been aptly called the Billy Graham of Independent Baptists. As far back as June the 15th, 1987, Dr. Victor Sears said, I quote, "Dr. Falwell is not basically a fundamental Baptist, but is a new evangelical in the same compromising vein as Dr. Billy Graham. If we keep following the road paved by Falwell, we, and referring then of the BBF, will lose our identity completely as old-fashioned old-fashioned, Bible-believing separatists. That was in the Calvary Contender on June the 15th, 1987. Well, Dr. Sears was right. And so what has happened here? How has this happened? How have these churches gone astray? Well, the main thing has happened is they have been influenced by the leaders of our movement, and they are, in our leaders in our movement, have influenced our churches. Now, the dictionary says an influence has the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone. Now, the fundamental movement had a major influence on the behavior of our independent Baptist churches. Influenced by the leaders of our fundamental movement, many pastors have dumped the instructions of 1 and 2 Timothy concerning how we ought to behave ourselves in the local church. It's very simple there. It tells us that. Well, the leaders in our movement changed the doctrine of salvation. What they did was they introduced a new incentive salvation. Now, the dictionary says an incentive is a thing that motivates one to do something. Well, for about 2,000 years, we left the motivation up to the Holy Spirit. We just preached the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit convicted people of their need to repent. No, we have a new plan now, sort of like selling something. We have to have an incentive, and our movement promoted that. And the incentive is to offer heaven as an incentive or a motivation to get people to pray a prayer. Well, you say, would you like to go to heaven when you die? Well, yeah, who wouldn't? So they pray a prayer. Well, the fact is that we, as mankind, we need to repent because what we have done is we have sinned against the thrice holy God. And even if there were no heaven, which there is, that's a great byproduct of being saved. But even if there weren't a heaven, we need to repent because we have offended God with our sin. And the Bible says, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So we don't get saved so we can have a free trip to heaven. We get saved because we've been convicted of the Holy Spirit that we need to repent of our sin, and repenting of our sin glorifies God. The Bible says, whatsoever ye do, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Well, then our leaders in our movement said, well, there's no need to repent. Let's get that out of the way. So then two men who were at the forefront of that heresy back in the 60s were Jack Hiles and Curtis Hudson. And in the fundamental movement, they promoted the damnable heresy, that enemy, that repentance is the enemy of soul winning. And they influenced thousands of pastors in local churches who adopted this anyone want to go to heaven, say I do plan of salvation. Well, as a result of that, Jesus said, except they repent, they shall all likewise perish. And while they didn't repent, they just prayed a prayer. Well, soon our fundamental independent Baptist churches were flooded with church members who had prayed a little no repentance prayer. And according to Jesus, they shall all likewise perish. Well, as a result of the influence of the leaders of our movement, multitudes of people became members of what we call fundamental churches who have never been born again. Well, if they haven't been born again, they have an appetite for worldly things. And these unsaved religious church members, they want worldly things. They have an appetite for that. So they're part, of course, of the local churches. And so what they do is they bring in what satisfies that old appetite. And usually the first avenue used by Satan in these churches is to introduce satanic music. And then it's all downhill from there. Well, in these churches, there's going to be some people who are actually saved, but these people who are born again have a serious lack of discernment because they've never been taught the doctrines they needed to be taught in order to get the discernment. And if they had even a limited amount of spiritual discernment, they would not remain in a church that's preaching the heresy in the place of sound doctrine. So the Bible very plainly says in 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts or desires shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall be turned away. They'll turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. Now that's putting it all together. That's what the Word of God says is going to happen in the last days. That is what is happening around us. And if you understand that, there's no need to panic. Oh yeah, we need to be saddened by the sick state of what we call fundamentalism, but there's no need to panic. What the Bible says is this is going to happen in the last days. And so once again, you hear that music in the background? I gotta go. We're out of time. Be sure and be with us for our next broadcast.